Welcome back, friends. Continuing on the significant error and hence the invalid resignation of Benedict, we continue with where he thinks he received the papacy. A significant error in Benedict's declaratio is his statement that he received the papacy from the hands of the cardinals. Benedict did not receive the papacy from the cardinals. The cardinals elected him, but the papacy is given directly to Benedict at the moment he said yes to the request by Jesus Christ. Just as Peter received the keys directly from Jesus Christ. This is a substantial theological error formed from immersion in Teutonic theology. The Code of 1883 is what the church is under. It states in Canon 11, merely ecclesiastical laws bind those who've been baptized in the Catholic Church or received into it, possess the efficient use of reason, and unless the law expressly provides otherwise, have completed 7 years of age. Canon 12, Section 1. Universal laws bind everywhere all those for whom they were issued. To renounce the papacy, Benedict must renounce in the manner prescribed by canon law, because he is bound by it. Brother Alexis unpacks this highly significant section of code, again referring back to Canon 332, Section 1, the one preceding the significant one and of 2, starting with 1. So, first off, the code of canon law binds on everyone above the age of reason, and especially, particularly those for whom it applies. So now we're looking at the part that applies to the Roman pontiff. So I continue. The Roman pontiff obtains full and supreme power in the church by his acceptance of legitimate election together with episcopal consecration. Therefore, a person elected to the supreme pontificate who is marked with episcopal character obtains this power from the moment of acceptance. If the person elected lacks episcopal character, however, he is to be ordained a bishop immediately. If it happens that the Roman pontiff resigns his office, it is required for validity that the resignation is made freely and properly manifested, but not that it is accepted by anyone. So let's take a look there at that just a little bit. There is a person marked with episcopal character. That means he was consecrated a bishop. Remember, for a few episodes ago, I talked about at our baptism, we are given a seal. When a man is ordained to the priesthood, a seal, a character, an indelible mark is on his soul. Same for the bishop. So that's what it means by a character, an episcopal character. Being elected to the papacy is a juridical office. It is not a consecration as that of a bishop, priest, or baptized soul. And so you can resign it if you want to. However, it must be made freely and properly manifested. Munus, office, charge, dignity. Those are synonyms. Ministry, activity, is not. Munus is not synonymous with ministry or ministerium. As Anne Barnhart, in previous episode, I highlighted a little of that, rightly discusses. The use of it in the Code of Canon Law 1983 demonstrates that munus and ministerium are two different words for complete. And I'm telling, if you want a complete and accessible discussion of these terms, refer to Brother's article found in my footnotes. I have it linked to his article where he goes at length into those definitions. And it's really worth the time invested in that. Additionally, terms used in the code of canon law are defined by the canon's usage itself. So that's kind of interesting. Historical treatments of Munus and ministry are not needed. So you don't need to go and find out how Munus and ministry have been used throughout an entomological type of a study. No, we go to Canon 17, which states, ecclesiastical laws must be understood in accord with the proper meaning of the words considered in their text and context. If the meaning remains doubtful and obscure, recourse must be made to all parallel places, if there are such, to the purpose and circumstances of the law and to the mind of the legislature. So that's really very nice. So all we need to do to understand what Munus and Ministerium means is to look at where else have they appeared in the canon. And Brother does that for us. I mean, if somewhat of an easy search, but he takes the guesswork out of it. And what he also has is a grasp of Latin. And so as we can see, Brother is not mimicking what Anne's work's about, but he offers fresh insights. And it's not my trajectory to how I came to the point, but yet it corroborates it. And so I find it intellectually satisfying to have many ways to come to the same conclusion, which is that Benedict has never resigned the papacy. Thus, Bergoglio has never at any time been the Pope and is, in fact, an anti-Pope. The cardinals did not elect a new Pope in Bergoglio because Benedict was still alive. And without having resigned the office completely and in accord with proper procedure, under duress, and committing substantial error by attempting to transform or expand the office following an illegal and invalid electioneering process. The whole farce reeks of evil intent. It is time to pump the brakes on the Bergoglian event with a papal reset. And that is a mouthful in that paragraph, but I stand by each and every statement. Benedict was still alive. He did not resign the office completely. I don't know how many times he has told us real clearly that he didn't. He kept the prayerful part and he's trying to give away the action part. Well, then that's not a resignation. You can't be a sometimes Pope. Proper procedure. He did not renounce. He had a declaration. That declaration was not properly manifested. It was significantly full of errors, including the fact that the cardinals gave him the office. Benedict knows better than that. Even with his wretched formation as a young man within the German theological school, he isn't. There's a lot more going on with that. Under duress, I think one has to be incredibly naive to think that he isn't under duress. How many people in holy orders have told me they're under duress? Substantial error. This whole business of splitting the ministry and the office, Walter Casper kind of idea. This has been going on. Pump the brakes. Illegal, invalid electioneering process against what John Paul put in. Again, that in and of itself, even if the whole other part was correct, the illegal and invalid electioneering with the St. Gallen Mafia, with McCarrick and Daniels and all. No. So I continue. Archbishop Garcia has a website, Abyssius Abyssum. I have a link in the footnotes. The Archbishop posts on topics related to authentic Catholicism and the remedying of papal confusion by means of calling an imperfect council. An imperfect council can consider the irregularities of Benedict's attempted resignation and installation of Bergoglio. All right, let's stop here. We're going to pick, and we'll pick up the next time with our discussion. To the next time, Fides Erratio.